Hi everyone, my name is Halima Jama, and welcome back to Midnight Streams. Tonight's episode will be a bit different. In light of recent events, we will not be discussing a teen issue as we usually do it. Instead, we'll be discussing what minorities, especially Black people in America, have to deal with. So as we all know, on May 25th, Minneapolis police murdered George Floyd. He was a 46-year-old African-American man who was simply grocery shopping at his local Cub Food. But the employees called 911 on him, accusing him of using a counterfeit $20 bill. It was actually later noted that the $20 bill was real. But with no evidence, Officer Derek Chauvin, Tao Thao, Thomas Lane, and J. Alexander King all proceeded to arrest Floyd. King and Lane held George Floyd's body down while Chauvin kneeled on Floyd's neck and kept his knee there for 7 to 9 minutes. The Minnesota Police Department did nothing about his death, so protests sparked in downtown Minneapolis. Eventually, people across the nation and across the world began protesting for George Floyd's death, or for George Floyd's justice. With all the controversy with how Donald Trump was handling the situation by calling the protesters thugs in the anticipation of the citizens waiting on the arrests of the cops who killed George Floyd, I figured that I would interview people who have been vocal about it all. Tonight I'll be joined by young teens and adults who will be discussing the justice system in America, racism, protests, police brutality, and along with some of their own personal stories. I definitely learned a lot from them speaking and just sharing their stories, and I hope you guys listen with an open mind and take away from it as well.
Hi, my name is Randall, and I am 20 years old and I live in California.
My name is Michaela Heisinga. I'm 17 years old. I live in Bloomington, Minnesota. I'm half Haitian and half white.
My name is Emmanuel. I'm 17. I live in Chicago, Illinois. And I'm Black and African.
My name is Favor, and I am 16 years old. I live in Minneapolis, but I go to school in Eden Prairie, and I'm Black.
I'm Shane Mosley. I'm 18. I'm from Minnesota, and I am mixed between Black, white, and Puerto Rican.
Hi, I'm Yusra. I live in Minnesota, and I live in Eden Prairie, and I am Black, African American, and my ethnicity is Somali.
I'm Brian Udafia. I live in Houston, Texas. I am 18, and I'm African American.
I'm Rosie. I'm 17. I live in Minnesota, and I'm Chinese.
Hi, what's up, everyone? My name is Omar. I'm 18. I'm Egyptian, and I live in Minnesota.
I'm Kira. I'm 17. I'm from Minnesota, and I'm white.
My name is Nala McWhorter. I am 19, from Racine, Wisconsin, and I am African American.
I'm Nelly. I'm 16, and I'm from Minnesota, and I'm Caucasian. What?
Thank you for putting that in parentheses. I'm Josie. I'm 18. I'm from Minnesota, and I'm Caucasian as well.
How is 2020 going for you, and how are you feeling about the world right now?
2020 has been an amazing year so far for myself as a person with minor dips in the hill, in the valley. In terms of how I feel about the world, I feel like nothing has changed, if I'm going to be completely honest. I feel like, you know, as Will Smith said, racism hasn't increased. It's just been getting filmed now. So the daily lives of Black people and other colored folks, but predominantly Black people, is now being viewed by the rest of the world.
Personally, 2020 has been might be my year, but like stuff outside of school, stuff like school and racial tensions and diseases have ruined my year. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
2020 is going. It's pretty. I'm just rolling with the punches. It's all right. I mean, it's not going great for everybody. So
it's been a weird year. We all thought it was going to be better after 2019, but we really want 2019 back. But it's been a roller coaster, I would say. Just with school getting closed and not being able to see my friends, occurringly, and it started out really lonely, and just like I had to get used to school and again not being able to see my friends, and then there was a bunch of stuff happening. Seems like 2020 is just out for the world.
2020 has been long. It's been very long. But how am I feeling about it? Well, a lot of stuff has changed and a lot of stuff is coming out of 2020. And so I'm happy to see that change is happening, but it's long overdue.
2020 is a little hectic, a little crazy. Obviously, as you can see, we started off with the military draft, quote unquote. Then we had Kobe's death, and obviously the year has been getting worse and worse. But personally, 2020 hasn't been too terrible. School was fine. Obviously, coronavirus is one of our biggest issues right now, and obviously the protests that are going on.
Honestly, everything's been going crazy. Like, every single month there's something new coming up. But not gonna lie, like, there's, like, also, like, good side to it, because everyone's been, like, starting to speak up, everyone's coming together. Like, with quarantine happening, with everything else happening, like, it's bringing out the best side of people, because everyone's, like, starting to realize what's going on around them.
I think it's crazy, honestly. If you told me a year ago that we'd be where we are, I probably wouldn't believe you. I think it's sad seeing, like, the state that we're in right now. And I hope that we can come together, though, to change it so our future generations don't have to go through what we're going through.
Okay, so it's been, like, a lot harder for me recently, especially with all the atrocities going on, because this whole George Floyd thing has kind of been an awakening to me to, like, that I have to be more careful in the world, and my skin color could literally be my death sentence, which is, like, so scary to think about. But there were, like, moments I also had school when this whole thing happened. And I know the teachers are trying to, like, be easy on me and stuff like that. But I was working through school. But there were, like, there was a point in time where I just literally stopped doing school. Because, like, all I was watching on social media was, like, people getting brutalized by the police. And, like, mm-hmm. people of my color, like, getting killed by the police. And that was just, like, it was emotionally paralyzing for me. So for a while, I just kind of stopped doing my schoolwork, and then I kind of got back on my shit later on, but I was doing my schoolwork, and everything is kind of going better for me right now. My mom will not let me leave to go to any protest, which sucks, but I literally just stay home, and I try and raise awareness as I can. I donate, and I post up on Instagram, Snapchat, have people sign petitions. So yeah, that's how it's been going for me.
2020 has been pretty shitty. I mean, especially with everything that's going on in the world. There's been so many huge world events in this first 6 months, and we don't usually, like, get all that in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And so that's impacted, like, how my year's been going. But personally, I've been okay.
Yep, so 2020 has definitely been rough, with a lot of things happening for Black people, COVID happening. It's definitely taught me how to adapt to my environment very quickly.
2020 feels like a shit show, very dark place, and although I cannot relate to a lot of things, it's hard to witness or see everything that's happening from afar. And I can't imagine what the fuck it would be like. Or frick, am I not allowed to swear?
No, you can swear.
Oh, I don't know what the hell it would be like if everything right now was happening to me. So.
Did you grow up knowing about racial inequities? Why or why not?
Yes, I did. I'm originally from Philadelphia. I was born and raised there, and I can say that living on the East Coast is a completely different world than what it's like living on the West Side. Like, you know, at 10, 11, 12 years old, I was learning what to do to not get shot by the police instead of learning about how to put on a condom or something like that, because I grew up in an impoverished area. It was always, you know, you got to be 2 times smarter. You got to be 3 times better. You got to be 5 times as punctual. You got to be right to the T. You don't have any room for mess ups, because if you got a room for a mess up, they'll put a less qualified white person or Asian person right there in your spot.
Yeah. Because, like, one time, I was at Chuck E. Cheese. And then I was leaving. I saw a white police officer. I was like, let me wave at him, because back then I aspired to be a police officer. So I waved at him and said hello. And then he looked at me with disgust. And then I was just so angered from that moment.
Why do you think they looked at you that way?
Maybe because I was black. I was a black boy in this world. But since then, it's been fuck the police.
I did, because I grew up in a majority black community, and I was involved in things in that sense, and they always made sure to ask the right questions to get me thinking about those things, but I didn't learn enough in school and from family members, I think.
So I came here when I was 7 years old. I'm fully African. I am from Nigeria. I was born there, and I moved to the U.S. when I was 7 years old. So with that, my parents, you know, when immigrants move to America, especially the parents, don't always know what's happening with, you know, social issues, especially like race and stuff like that. So, you know, I never had like the talk where it's like, you know, you should act this way, you should not act this way.
Not right off the bat. It didn't really start making a big appearance in my life until I think middle school is when I really started to notice, and it's kind of like when people started talking about it. But growing up, it wasn't like something I focused on a whole lot.
Well, the beginning of my childhood was in Nigeria, and everybody was black. So not necessarily at first. I moved to Holland. Even in Holland, surprisingly, I never actually experienced like racism. But when I came to America, that's when it became like a big issue. Like that's when I really knew like my skin color was obviously like a point of interest for the majority of people that I went to school with. So yeah, coming to America was definitely an eye-opener.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay, like growing up in Africa or the Middle East, like there isn't racism, but there's like colorism, even like with people in the same race. Like if you're like a different color or skin tone, you're treated differently. Like even like happened with my own family. So like I kind of like peeped it, you know.
Yeah, I did. When I was younger, I had a close friend who was mixed, and my parents always tried to talk to me about how we're all human beings and like how we should all be treated equally. And I honestly couldn't tell you like when I learned that, but I just always knew. Like I don't remember a time when I didn't know that.
Kind of, like, I say kind of because my mom never really taught me about this stuff until my brother turned, like, 15 or 16, and the reason why we were, like, scared for him was because we always heard stuff about black teens getting brutalized by cops, so I kind of grew up knowing about that kind of stuff, but when I was younger, I wouldn't say as much I didn't know about it as much, but I remember, like, I used to live in Eagan, and my neighbors were really racist, so they'd like call the police on us for random things that we would do. Like I remember one night we were like having like a bonfire, and they like called the cops on us. So I kind of just like grew, and the police would always take their side because they were white, but I just always I didn't really know that much about it at first. Like I never thought that the police were discriminating, stereotyping us based on our skin color. But as I grew up, I kind of reflected on that, and I kind of knew why they were acting the way they were, and that was because of our skin color.
So the first thing I ever kind of noticed, like, as a kid, was the difference in income levels between white and black people. Just because I came from a mixed household, so when I went with my white family, they always had big houses, nice cars, and then my black family was always in, like, poor neighborhoods. So that was like the first thing that I kind of noticed as a kid.
Okay, so Nelly and I went to St. Hubert, from kindergarten to 8th grade. And then we went to Holy Family, and most of the kids that went to SHS with us went to Holy Family as well. And it was a lot of privileged-ass rich white people, if I'm gonna say that, honestly. We stayed in a bubble. It's kind of like you live your whole life in a box because that's the way things are set up for you. And I don't think I was, like, probably when I was 16 is when I came into contact with people that weren't, like, as fucking lucky as I was, if I'm being honest.
All right, my next question is, have you ever experienced or witnessed racism, and what happened?
Well, goddamn, do you want a list of all of them?
All right, think of, like, the most prominent one.
I mean, there's a couple that are tied up there on the list of most prominent. We could pull a snippet from, we could pull two snippets actually from my sophomore year of high school where I transferred schools and I was in Reno, Nevada to go into McQueen High School. And there would be multiple instances where students, sometimes people who I had no idea who they were, would throw beer cans or throw rocks at me while I was walking back home from school saying things like, "Get out of our town, nigger." And the entire second semester of my sophomore year, I got into a fight every day in the locker room, instigated by at least two or three white classmates, or I guess peers, you could say, of mine, when they would say things like, you know, "You only fast because you got so much experience running from the cops," or "You only fast because you got a long heel bone," which is a knock to the movie 42 about Jackie Robinson, or "You only fast because you had so much practice running for the fried chicken," you know, stuff like that. That probably be some of the most, those are some of the most in my face experiences. Oh, you know, we could also pull from when I was on my way to Arcadia Invitational track meet, and we walked into a restaurant in this small little backwater town in California, and there was a painting on the wall called The Spooks. And it was a bunch of brown, like, dookie-looking kind of figures with big white eyes all huddled together looking at each other. And at that moment, like, just seeing the word didn't sit right in me. Like, something in me told me to get out of the restaurant. And then I noticed that the cook stopped cooking and they were staring at me. The cashier lady stopped serving the person in front of her and she was looking at me. The waitress was staring at me. Everybody in there that was sitting and eating, who was also white, stopped eating and they were looking at me. I was the only black person in there and the only black person to be seen in that town for miles. And I ended up finding out from a teammate of mine that was laughing about the Spooks painting that that's what they call black people because you couldn't see us at night. You could only see our eyes and our teeth. So they called us Spooks because it was spooky.
Yeah. I experienced racism a lot. And what's it called? At my elementary school, it was majority Hispanic, so they didn't mess with African Americans. There was no Black History Month over there.
More so, like, people being prejudiced towards minorities rather than racist, but I've heard of people being racist. I think it's pretty built into the system, so it's kind of unavoidable.
This happened last sophomore year. Mm-hmm. Sophomore year, I believe. One of my teachers, we'll keep her name unknown, but she, it was actually me and my friend. And we were the only two black girls in the class. And she would, like, I don't know, she always sat us with, we would, like, want to sit together because, you know.
Right.
United, but she would always sit us across, but that wasn't really like a thing. But I would like ask her to go to the bathroom, and she'd be like, "No," and you know, when a white girl would ask her, like, I'm not even like sugarcoating you, like she'd be like, "Yeah, sure," and if this was it, if like me and let's call her Sharkeisha. Me and Sharkeisha were talking. If we were, like, talking when we weren't supposed to, which I know is wrong, but she would, like, call us out real quick. But then, you know, the bundle, 6-7 white girls would be having a good old jolly time, like, they having a reunion party, and she would say nothing. So I was just... I picked up on it, and it really ended up going to our dean, and I literally had to sit down and talk to this woman and literally say, like, you're racist. And she was like, I told my dean, and I was like, this is what she's gonna say. She's like, I'm so sorry I made you feel that way. I never intended to make you feel that way. And that is exactly, no cap, what she said. And I was just like, it's not that I don't have forgiveness in my heart because I'm a child of God. And I was just like, you know what? It's fine. Like, But those are just one of the instances that earliest memories of, I guess, facing racism.
Oh, yeah. Growing up, I used to live in St. Michael, which is like 45 minutes from Eden Prairie. And in first grade, I remember... all the little kids in my class used to call me Brownie, but I didn't get it. I did not understand. I was like, what's up with that? Like, I was why are they calling me Brownie? And my parents were like, you have to realize, like, you're not white. Like, you're not like the other kids that go to your school. And I was like, what? Like, I just didn't understand it. It was really weird. But then I didn't really start seeing more of that. Like, after that, it didn't really... happened much until I don't like that, like, please don't call me that. And they're like, it stopped. And so I was like, all right. And then I didn't really experience more until I moved to Eden Prairie, and it didn't really happen much to me, but I saw it around me, and all you can do is speak out about it. That's all I could do. So yeah, that's kind of what I did.
Yes, my reaction to it was not the best kind of reaction. I was walking through like a doorway, and there was this dude, he told me that he doesn't let my kind walk in front of him. And I kicked him, but that was in like 9th grade. I haven't really experienced anything too crazy since then.
Yeah, because so for people who know me or like know how I look like your first impression of me is not Arab or like not white. It's like mixed or like something like that. And like all our hang around is like either like my friends are either black or Arab. And there's like many times where we'd walk into a store and like, a worker would like follow us around, and like one time one of the workers came up to me and he was like, you don't look like you're buying anything from here, so I'm asking you to leave. And I'm like, bro, what do you mean? And that was like my second time experiencing racism.
Yeah, for me, so I'm Asian, and I've definitely gotten comments about like stereotypes about how all Asians are smart, or like why I like rice, or like comparisons to other people just because we're both Asian even if we look nothing alike. Mm-hmm. Especially too with coronavirus, like I've gotten comments about like my people eating a bat, or like I had a Asian friend and she was like told by a guy that he would never date her because she's Asian, and just like things like that.
Yes, I have. I've witnessed racism multiple times in many different forms. But I'd say one of the first times I remember seeing racism, like in person, I was with my family, and part of my family is black. My aunt and my uncle, they're both African American, and I was like 7 or 8, and we were walking through the neighborhood. They lived in a really nice neighborhood in Phoenix, and I ended up going home because it was dark, and I went home with my uncle, and my aunt was just walking around, and a police officer was patrolling the neighborhood and came up to her and asked her what she was doing in the neighborhood, and she was like, why are you here? Like, do you live around here? And she was like, yeah, my house is just down the block. And the officer was like, no, it's not. Like, where do you live? Like, actually tell me where you live. And she was like, my house is literally right there. Like, I'm just on a walk in my own neighborhood. And So the officer was like, okay, take me to your house and let me talk to your parents. And so the officer escorted her to the house, and my grandma opened the door, her mom, and she works for the news, so, like, she's known around the town, and when the officer went up to the door, he asked my aunt again if this was her house, and she was like, yeah. So my grandma opened the door. She's like, why did you bring my daughter home? Like, what was she doing? And he was like, oh, I just wanted to make sure that she got home safe. And, like, I don't know, it's getting kind of dark. She shouldn't be walking around alone. And I was standing next to her, and I knew that just sounded off because, you know, that's never happened before. We go on walks all the time. And my aunt was like, no, you stopped me because you didn't think this was my neighborhood and you didn't believe me. And my grandma got pissed, and it was good. But,
wow.
Yeah, it was, like, probably the first time I ever saw something like that.
So one time I've only ever heard, like, the N-word, the hard R, one time, and that was, like, the most, like, open racism I've ever kind of seen. I remember it was, like, this white man who was, like, mad at my dad during, like, traffic or something, and, like, got at his car and screamed it. So I remember, like, that was the only time that I've ever really kind of, like, seen it, like, super in my face. But you always get, like, the microaggressions and stuff like that, especially in college.
Growing up, I think, don't get me wrong, I love my white people, but, like, I think that a lot of the shit I grew up around, people would act, like, scared when black people were around, if I'm being honest. So, finally, like, being best friends with Chelsea, it's like, now I'm seeing everything that she has to fucking go through every day, and it's sad. Other than that, yeah, like, when I'd walk around even, like, Excelsior, like, the rich-ass fucking place in, like, Tonka around the lake, with my boyfriends and stuff, people would just act scared. And act like it's rare to see a fucking white person with a black person, which I always thought was so strange.
Do you believe in white privilege? Explain why or why not.
Oh, absolutely, I believe in white privilege. Like, what? You could be an average white person and still get access to some of the best things in life, but you could be an above average black person and they won't even say your name or give you any real sense of acknowledgement. I can't tell you all the times that it was assumed that I didn't have my father in my life, that it was assumed that I come from an impoverished neighborhood, that it was assumed that I had some kind of emotional trauma, or that I was only going to succeed in life through athletics. I never got the benefit of, oh, maybe he's just a regular black young man, you know, from a good neighborhood, you know, got both his parents in the household, this, that, and the fourth. Although, yes, I did come from an impoverished area, and I never had the benefit of having both my parents raise me at the same time, it's not fair for that to be assumed. And different experiences of mine, like, a white kid will lash out in class, and the first thing that's done is, oh, something's wrong with him. Oh, he's probably got something bad going on at home. Or, oh, we need to support him. But if you see a black kid lash out, oh, he's a criminal, he's a thug. Like, I've literally watched my teachers call campus police on a black kid who literally just did something as insignificant as thrown a notebook across class. But I've done seeing white kids pick up whole desks and throw chairs at each other, and the teacher's like, stop, stop it, Tommy, stop. Like, yo, come on. And I've done had, like, instances where it's been assumed that I was unintelligent because of the color of my skin and my jovial nature, but then I've had white kids come up to me after we take an exam or get our quarter report cards back, and they'll be like, oh my God, you got better grades than me? What?
I believe in white privilege because they get away with things that we often don't get away with.
I do believe in white privilege, simply because I had a conversation with someone, a white friend, who said that white privilege didn't exist because white people can struggle more than black people, and I think people often misconstrue white privilege as saying you aren't able to struggle or you don't go through things, which is not what it means. It's just simply that the color of your skin will always give you better opportunity in America than a minority. So.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, my privilege is so evident in this culture. And the thing people get most confused about white privilege, white people, when I say people, is white privilege is not that you haven't earned your fair share, and it's not that you haven't worked hard, and it's not that you haven't faced difficulties in your life. It's the kind of birth lottery, I would say, but just the skin you're born in. You're born in your privilege, and I'm born in my oppression, in the way that the system is already made for you.
100%. I mean, America was built to support white people. I mean, everything it's built on is so that white people can succeed. I mean, there's places that won't hire Mexicans, black people, Indian, Asian, you name it, just because they want that clean image of just white people. Like, they think white is friendly and anything else is a threat. Mm-hmm. So 100% I believe it. I mean, it's everywhere.
100%. Well, the simple fact that because of your skin color, for example, white people, they can wake up on a day-to-day basis and not have to worry about whether, A, they're going to get home the next day because they are white. They get to benefit from things like nepotism, which is like family members basically advocating for them in their jobs. People of color don't necessarily get to benefit from things like that. And it's not like a bad thing per se. It's just how this country is. So being a white person is not like a bad thing. But white privilege exists, and I feel like white people should kind of understand why they have a privilege as a white person. For example, I think there was a white shooter that like shot up a church, and they took him to Burger King. I'm not sure if this is the correct person, but they took him to Burger King after they arrested him. But great example, George Floyd was killed for a counterfeit $20 bill. I see, there's literally a huge difference. If you can't see the disparity, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, so like, okay, I feel like white privilege has, like, been a saying this whole time, but now, like, people just, like, didn't think about it. But, like, with the past, like, with everything happening, like, protests of white people and then protests of, like, Black Lives Matter, you have people coming out saying, I need a haircut, and then other people coming out saying, like, I need to live. Like, that's white privilege right there. Like, you have people coming out with guns, literally shouting, doing all that. They were not attacked. They were not doing anything, and the president supported them. But then other people came out peacefully, and they were attacked for their color. So, like, that's the definition of white privilege right there.
Yeah. I've heard a bunch of stories about other people being treated differently based off of the color of their skin and nothing, like, more than that. And I think that white people can get more opportunities and that stereotypes of white people are mostly positive, so that benefits them.
I definitely believe in white privilege, and I watched this video the other day, and it was talking about how there was this white man that never believed in white privilege, and he was going out with his black friend, and his black friend happened to be driving them, and his black friend put his license and registration on the dashboard, and he was driving like that, and he was driving with the music really low, and his white friend asked the man that didn't believe in white privilege, asked him why he was doing all of this, and at that point, he was talking about how he realized that his skin color acted like a shield to him towards cops, and he would have never thought to put his license and registration on the dashboard so he didn't have to reach for anything. So I do believe in white privilege, and I do believe that white people have a shield, and that is their skin color.
White privilege definitely exists. I mean, for example, like if I was just walking around in my neighborhood, I probably wouldn't get stopped by an officer. And I don't get stopped anywhere ever, actually.
Of course, I definitely believe in white privilege. I think there's just certain things that this entire country, this entire nation is built off of benefiting white people. Everything is surrounding the superiority of white people. So just being born with that skin color, you immediately have way more privileges than a minority. So I definitely think, and even just the little stuff like going into a store and not having to get followed, or being pulled over and not having, you know, a gun pull on you, just little things like that.
What's one way you think your life would have been different if you had been born another race?
I think I wouldn't have to think about a lot of things, and I feel like I wouldn't have to have tried so hard to prove myself in school or by my accomplishments. People would just see me for me before those things.
Well, you know, I don't think I would have been detained by the police at the age of 10. I don't think that would have happened, you know, for shits and giggles. I don't think that people would have thrown rocks and beer cans at me telling me to get out of town if I was white. Maybe if I was Hispanic, but definitely not if I was Asian. I feel like people wouldn't expect me to be so great at athletics. Like, no, mind you, I am an athlete, this, that, and the fourth. But it's the certain innate expectation that I am a great athlete because I'm black. I feel like people wouldn't be so surprised when I inform, like, when they figure out how intelligent I am. I feel like people wouldn't be so surprised when I actually speak in full sentences and articulate my words, and they can see that I have the enunciation of our quote-unquote white counterparts. I feel like there wouldn't be as many stigmas about me, and people wouldn't be so timid or afraid of me off first impression. I feel like people wouldn't naturally assume that I'm an angry person. I feel like people wouldn't look to me in class anytime there's something that has to do with discrimination, or almost look for me to be, I guess, the token black experience. To say, oh, I came from a bad neighborhood, I'm just trying to make it for me and my mom. Like, I feel like that definitely would not be it. I feel like people wouldn't expect me to always know how to rap if I was a different race. I feel like people wouldn't expect me to play basketball all the time if I was a different race.
That's a good question. Oh, it'd be different in a lot of ways. I mean, I wouldn't be self-conscious in, let's say, like, a relationship setting, because like when black people or anybody of color has to like look for relationships, the first question that they have to ask is, does that person want to be with a black person? Are they okay with being with a black person? Are they okay with being with an Asian person, or you name it? Are they okay being with whatever? But that's just not the first thought that pops into people's head when they're white, you know? Growing up, like, if I had blonde hair, blue eyes, people wouldn't make fun of me for having brown eyes and curly hair, or you name it. Or being like, oh, your dad's not white, or like, are you adopted? Right. When they see me with my mom, they're like, are you adopted? I'm like, no. Like, that's my mom. Like, just like a bunch of small things would be so different. And job opportunities, in places, if I grew up white, representation in media, like, I wouldn't feel left out. That's another big one. So, yeah. I think those are, like, my key ones.
Well, it depends on the race. Definitely depends on the race, but I would never choose to be born a different race. I would do it again if I had the choice, being African-American, for sure.
I wouldn't have to, like, move countries. I wouldn't be away from my family. Like, there's, like, a lot that comes into it. Probably being white. Like, I'd have, like, my life would have been, like, probably, like, much better.
What
wouldn't have to deal with me having to drive slower than the speed limit because I don't want to be pulled over by cops. I wouldn't have to deal with leaving my license or registration on the dashboard so I don't have to reach for anything. I wouldn't have to deal with having to drive with music down low. My mom literally makes me promise that I'm not going to turn the music up loud when I'm driving before I leave the house because she doesn't want me to get pulled over. Because if I do get pulled over by a cop, I don't know if I'm leaving with my life or not, which is something that a white person most likely does not have to deal with.
Well, if I was anything other than a white male, you know, you're going to be discriminated against in this country and in this society, unfortunately. And so my life could be totally different. I could have less opportunity, unfortunately, because of the color of my skin.
I think when I walk into a room, I would have a fresh slate. I think being a black woman, you walk into a room and immediately people are judging you, kind of fitting you into a box already. So being like a white person, you walk in already fresh. Nobody's judging you. You kind of are whoever you want to be.
My next question is, what was your reaction to the George Floyd video?
I had no real reaction to the George Floyd video, if I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. Like, I've been grown up and seen so many innocent black faces be killed and taken by Philadelphia PD, Houston Police District, Las Vegas Police District, internationally. I done heard too many stories. I done seen too many black women get raped and sexually assaulted by police officers just for the fun of it. I done seen too many black youths get killed by police officers to like really be fazed by anything anymore. There was a situation at my college where frat boys wrote on a music flyer because Saweetie canceled her performance at the school. They wrote "niggas be tripping" on the flyer, and allegedly it accidentally got leaked and the whole campus saw it. And instead of outrage like every other black person on campus and all the other, you know, happy liberal white folk, my immediate reaction was, damn, you telling me you got a 450 year head start and the best you could do was call her a nigga? You could have at least called her a porch monkey. Like, come on now, come on, get interesting. You had all that time to repair, and that's the best you could come up with? Like, I've been completely desensitized to it. Even my experiences with cops, like, I've had a couple experiences where I thought to myself, fuck, I'm finna be another hashtag. Like, I'm just desensitized to it. It happens too often.
I watched it 4 times, and the first time I watched it, like, I was confused and sad at the same time, because I was like, that's no way for any person to die. And then, like, every time after that I kept watching it, I just got more angry and angry, because, like, it was disgusting. The man, the cop was looking at his, at the camera. The other cop was just watching it unfold. And it just made me so disappointed in the police.
And I couldn't watch it, because I would keep on scrolling, and I would see, like, 5 seconds of it, and I couldn't watch the video, and I don't know, it took me a minute to just, like, realize what was even going on, because I was just like, huh, is this even real? And it was feelings of frustration, and after all of that happened, and, you know, like, he died, and every time I thought about it, I would start crying, because it's like, why does it affect me, you know? But then it's like, you know, that could easily be my dad that had a $20 bill, and the cashier thought it was fake, and they called the cops, and the white man didn't like the black man, and, you know, so it hits in a different spot, and I was just like, it was feelings of frustration when they were like, we don't have enough evidence. It was feelings of just
Confucian again. I was just like, why? Like, why do you have so much hatred in your heart? Like, that stuff kills people, honestly. But like, I was just, it was heartbreaking. Like, truly.
I didn't watch it. Yeah. I won't watch it. Something in me did not feel comfortable watching it.
Unfortunate as it is, the video did not surprise me. That is the worst part. Because something like that is what I expected to happen in this country, because this country is literally that terrible. So unfortunately, the video did not surprise me, but it was still appalling. It was terrible.
Honestly, it was disgusting. Like, sad. I watched it, like, over and over and over, and, like, every single time I would watch it, I would peep something, like, new coming up. Whether it's, like, the cop or, like, what he said or any of that. And it was heartbreaking, to be honest, like, to think about it.
I was disgusted. It, like, hurt to see because, like, that's a human being. And I was embarrassed that it happened in Minnesota, which is, like, my state.
Right.
It literally broke my heart because it was just kind of, like, my brother lives in Minneapolis, so the only difference between him and George Floyd was circumstance and time. Like, that could have been him. And that could have been my sister. That could have been, like, I literally have family members that live in Minneapolis. And, like, the fact that this happened so close to home was so disgusting.
Literally.
And I never thought to ever research that much into the Minneapolis Police Department. But, like, once I started researching, I found out that the Minneapolis Police Department was actually one of the most corrupt in the entire country.
God, that shit was awful to see. Started crying. I immediately shared it, and I went upstairs to my mom, and I was like, is this on the news? Like, have you seen this? Like, this is another man killed. But this time, like, in our city, right here in front of our faces, like, this better be on the news. And like, the first day, I feel like it wasn't really, like, on the news. Like, everyone, like, all of our friends and people we knew were sharing it. It was on our social media, but it was not on the news until people started getting really upset and saying, this is seriously, like, we're sick of this, you know? And, yeah, no. I just knew that if I didn't see it on the news, then there's just, like, no hope for this. Like, this is seriously a problem.
Wow. It almost made me, like, very numb. Very numb, just because that wasn't the first video that I've seen like that. That wasn't the first video that I've seen of cops killing a black man. But it just was so sad. Like, and it also just put me in literal disbelief. Like, this man's knee is on his neck for minutes on top of minutes, and he's screaming that, like, he can't breathe and they don't give a fuck. So it just was like, wow. But then again, it affirmed that cops are really pieces of shit. Honestly,
I'd seen the video on Instagram and it was kind of shocking, and I felt really anxious. Like, I had a lot of anxiety and I didn't really know how to feel. And you go upstairs and you turn the news on and they're replaying it, like, over and over and over again, and it just felt really insensitive, and I was angry, but I eventually got over those emotions and to collect my thoughts.
Has your opinion on cops changed drastically since watching that video?
I cried like a bitch. I sobbed. And that whole day felt off. It's kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but all I know is that times felt off since then. And I think a lot of people feel that way. I think everyone that's a regular human being with a heart feels that way.
My next question is, has your opinion on cops changed drastically since watching the video?
No. My opinion has always been the same on cops. They're not for black people. They weren't made with the intent of helping black people. They weren't made for black people. They were made for people of a lighter hue. They weren't made for Hispanics. Maybe white Hispanics, but they weren't made for brown Hispanics. They weren't made for sandy brown Hispanics. They weren't made for the light-ish kind of Hispanics. They weren't made for black people. They weren't made for light skins. They weren't made for albino black folk. They weren't made for legitimate brown black people. They weren't made for us. They were never made for us. Their training is racist. I would rather deal with a gangbanger than call the fucking police.
No, I think my opinion of cops have always been the same. I think it just, it affected me more, my opinion. In Minnesota and knowing that street and watching it happen, so. In your hometown, so.
My opinion on cops, I do not believe in, like, the Blue Lives Matter movement or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I, the term, the ACAB thing, all cops are bastards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there's, like, the discussion where, like, not all cops are bad. But it's, like, it's more about, obviously not all cops are bad. Like, you know, obviously. But it's more of, I have to think that way because you have made me think that way. The system has made me think that way. Of the countless times that cops have killed black people for the color of their skin, I have to, if I get stopped on the road, I have to be like, man, I have to be on my exact behavior. I can't even move a muscle. I gotta narrate everything. Like, should I like record this? Like, it's fear that comes from the people who are supposed to protect me. So it's like, and then, in that, I have to think all cops are bad, you know? But obviously not all cops are bad.
Nah, I've always had a negative outlook on police officers, to be honest. Even, like, when I envision myself, like, when I'm bored at home, like, let's say I imagine a home robbery happening, the first thing that comes to mind is not even calling the police. There's just something about the police that just does not sit right with me. I don't like the police.
It did not change. Like, I already knew, like, especially, like, Minneapolis police, like Anonymous said it, they're the second worst police department in the country. So, like, it did not really change, but it was, like, I was not surprised when I saw it, but I was like, what the fuck, you know?
Okay, so this one's, like, hard because I don't believe that it's really, like, my place to say because I think, like, sure, there are good and bad cops, but I've never been, like, directly affected by police brutality. Like, I've witnessed it and I've, like, seen it happen in media, but I definitely think it's awful, and I don't really know if, like, cops, like, I don't know if I can, like, say, yes, cops are good or bad, or, like, you know, like, I don't know if it's, like, impacted the way I think about them.
Yeah, all cops are bastards.
No, deadass.
Because even if the cops that, I saw this thing also, and it was just talking about how, like, a lot of people, a lot of cops like to mention that not all of them are bad. Like, there's only a few bad apples. But it's just, like, all of the other cops that are not considered bad sit back while their colleagues commit all these horrible atrocities and they pepper spray and they shoot rubber bullets at innocent protesters. Mm-hmm. I also view police as security, and they view them as people that are supposed to protect them, but it's just so different for black people because black people view cops as threats and as people that can potentially end their lives.
I've always hated cops, but now I just hate them even more.
Not drastically, because I feel like I've always known that the criminal justice system and police enforcement is rooted in white supremacy. So because of that, blacks are always going to be treated as less. So I kind of already knew how cops operated, but that video did definitely take it on a whole nother level.
Have you ever had an encounter with the police? How were you treated, and why do you think you were treated that way?
I was 10 years old, and I was sitting on my porch, and I was minding my business. And Philadelphia PD thought it would be a nice idea to fuck with a black kid. And I hit puberty early. I started puberty when I was 9 years old, so I was bigger than a normal 10-year-old. And I got snatched off of my porch. I got put into cuffs. I was crying, like sobbing, because I was scared and I knew I didn't do anything, but I didn't know how to articulate what was going on because these were adults. These were fully grown ass men. These were two grown ass white men. And I was crying and this, that, and the fourth, and one of them just said, "Shut up, nigger. That's what y'all like to be called now, isn't it?" And in that moment, my body paralyzed with fear. And as I'm sitting in the back of the cruiser, and my mom is upstairs, you know, just not even paying attention to me, because why would she have a reason to pay attention to me? Like, we live in the heart of North Philly. Like, you know, you gotta worry more about the police than worry about other motherfuckers. And sitting in the back of the cruiser, I ended up pissing myself because I was that fucking scared. And they found it funny. Like, "Oh, he pissed himself. He pissed himself." And then they took me out the cops, and they took me out of the cuffs, and then they got their laugh and just drove off. And from that day, I never, ever, ever liked cops. Or we could go to when I was in middle school. My dad sent me over to the pizza shop to get pizzas for us while he was in the grocery store. And I got the pizzas, and I'm waiting by his truck. And an officer went, like, he looked at me, drove around. I looked at him, nodded my head. He nodded back, comes back around, looks at me again, and then stops and was like, "What are you doing?" "I'm waiting for my dad to get out of the store." "Oh, right, waiting for your dad." Mind you, I lived in an impoverished part of Houston with my father at this time. Not to mention, I went to a private middle school, a Jewish private middle school at that, and I was wearing my fucking school uniform with pizzas in hand. But he still thought I was trying to rob somebody. Or we could touch on my experience literally last week, trying to come back from the other side of LA with my friend. He's driving. He's speeding because it's like 1:30 in the morning. We just trying to get home. Cops, LAPD, LA Highway Patrol, pull him over. "Oh, where's your friend live?" "Oh, he lives with me. Like, we live in the same area." "Oh, let me see your license." "Well, he wasn't driving, officer." "Ah, let me see his license." "Officer, I don't feel comfortable reaching in my pocket to grab my license in light of the recent situations that have been going on." "Oh, you're one of those blacks. Get your license out." And his partner is shining the light in my face from the passenger side window. And I asked my friend to grab my wallet out of my pocket. He then looks at it and then tells me to get out of the car because I look like a suspicious person. And then I get searched.
Wait, was your friend what?
Nah, he's Asian. And I get searched. I get wrongfully searched for suspicion of having an illegal substance. Mind you, weed is legal in California. And whole time this is going on, his white partner, this is a Hispanic cop, and his white partner got his gun at the ready, hand on the handle, thing is unclicked, he ready, and I'm over here bent over the front of the car just thinking to myself, like, please God, let me get through this night. Like, so many good things have been happening. I'm not trying to be another hashtag. I don't want a justice for Randall hashtag trending. I really don't.
I did have, I think, like, two encounters with the police, and both times were fine. They were good people, I think. And if I was treated any better than anyone else, it'd probably be because, you know, I've privileged being lighter skinned, and I was surrounded by other lighter skinned minorities and white people, and so I was also young, so I think all of those played a factor. So, not really me, but I was there with my sister, had a really encounter with the police. It was her birthday, and we were in, like, downtown Racine, and we were walking to the car, and she had a wine cooler in her hand.
And obviously you can't like have public alcohol. Mm-hmm. So there was a cop out there who told her to like throw it in the garbage. But she wasn't talking like directly at her. She kind of just said it out loud, like, hey, throw that in the garbage. And my sister like didn't hear her. And so like me and her other friend heard her and told her like, hey, she told you to throw in the garbage. So she was about to throw in the garbage. And the officer came and like snatched her up, grabbed her by the arm, like, banged her against the police car, put cuffs on her, and was saying that like she wasn't listening, she wasn't cooperating. And my sister, she's older than me, but she's literally probably only like 100 pounds, like 5'4", like she's super short, super skinny. And like they were yanking her around, like her shirt, like her, you could see her boob, like they just were like really yanking her around. And then they lied and said she had a warrant. And I'm like, I know for a fact my sister has no warrant. So like, what's going on? Then they put her in the back of the car. They said they were taking her downtown. I'm just like, what's going on? Like, they weren't trying to tell me anything. It just was, it was horrible. That's me bad.
Ooh, it was like, it was this school year. It was the school fight outside. And then, like, me and my friend, we were walking slow. We didn't want to watch the fight because it was bogus. So, like, the police were done. They came towards us. They're like, all these kids in the fight were saying, fuck 12. What does 12 mean? And then, first I looked at him because I was like, do you not have training? That's what I was saying in my head. Like, he doesn't know what 12 means, and he's a cop. And then I told him, 12 is Chicago Police. All the letters and stuff. And he believed me, but it wasn't true. But like, cops in my neighborhood, they don't usually look my way or stuff like that. Unless, no. But there was this one time. Oh my God. My friends stole something from like the CVS. And then the lady comes up. She thought all of us stole. We had to run. There were cops everywhere. I still don't know how I made it home safe.
You realize that if you're with somebody that steals, you're guilty by association?
Yeah, but I was outside. I thought they were buying.
Oh.
They said they're going to get a Snapple.
I have. I got pulled over for expired tabs on prom night. And the cop was younger. He looked like he was in his 20s. And so I think it was one of those situations where had he been older, I think it would have been maybe a little more negative. But he was very calm. He's very nice. He's very laid back. He was just like, yo, make sure you just get your tabs redone. You're good. You can go home. I was like, okay.
I've never actually had a one-on-one encounter with police before because I tend to avoid situations like that. I mean, there was an incident earlier this year where my roommate actually called the police on me because he felt threatened by me, per se. And the police had to come to my room. And they were asking me if I was threatening, if I was going to beat him up, all these stupid, unnecessary questions, because it's a college student, like it's college housing. But that was really my only experience with the cops.
Yeah, I've had like many encounters with police. It was, okay, so most of the time it was mainly my friends speaking, not me. But when it was me speaking, like I try to be as nice as I can. But okay, you know, like when you like talk to a cop and like you already know what's going on in their mind, like, it's not right. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, that's why I felt like I did not feel like it was going to end well. I mean, a lot of them, like, I'm still here, you know, but there was, like, a lot of sus-ass shit going on, like, when you're talking to them, basically.
I honestly really haven't had an encounter with police other than meeting a cop at a Girl Scouts event when I was, like, 7.
I mean, that's a good thing.
I've been pulled over multiple times. Every time, I've always had weed on me. And every time, except for once, I've been let go. One time I did get a citation, but I was let go after that. And it was at ungodly hours. And I guarantee you that if I was black, it would have been a whole other different story, because the police in Eden Prairie especially are super, super racist, and I've seen it. Like, they're awful.
So, to be honest with you, I have had an encounter with cops. I was with my mom, and we got in a car accident last year. And to be honest with you, the cops were really nice, and they treated us really well. But all cops are still bastards. No, dead ass, bro. Honestly. Like,
you kind of have to have that mindset, though, as a black person, that until proven wrong, these cops are bad. Like, you have to be in fear of them until they prove you wrong.
Yeah, and I feel like, our whole justice system is so effed up, and it literally needs to be torn up and started over.
What role does social media play in these situations?
Social media is fucking amazing because now America can finally see the shit our people been going through for hundreds of fucking years. Like, it is literally amazing. Literally amazing, because had it not been for a teenage girl filming the shit that happened to fucking George Floyd, this shit would have never happened. Had it not been for somebody filming what happened to Ahmaud Arbery, this shit would have not happened. Had it not been for somebody filming what happened to Trayvon Martin, this shit would have not happened. Had it not been for so many other individuals filming what happened to multiple different black people, this shit would have not happened. Social media has been black people's biggest fucking blessing.
Social media plays a big role because, like, first of all, you don't know what is true, what isn't. And these days, social media is what you use to decide what is true from false. Nobody really looks at the news anymore because it's very biased. And the social media just makes us, it tells us what we are supposed to think. And sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not good.
Big role, because I strongly believe that news media is not truthful and unbiased, and I think videos like the one of George Floyd and live streams that took place during protests and riots were all the best place to get your information. You can we easily show our numbers on social media.
Here's my thing. Social media gets everything out, and it's such a great tool for us, especially our generation, mm-hmm. that like we're using to get these videos out and to start calling out the injustices that we're seeing around us. And Fox News supports Trump hardcore, and so I don't trust them by any means. Mm-hmm. CNN, I mean, I think all news stations kind of get something skewed, but I trust CNN 1,000 times more than I would ever trust Fox.
I feel like social media sheds light on a lot of the truth that's happening, because the media tends to distort it. They tend to lie a lot and pick and choose what they want to be seen. Social media, especially Twitter, that's where most of my like visuals and what's actually happening has come from. All the truth I feel like comes from social media, because you can't necessarily lie from watching a video. When you watch a video, you form your own opinion.
I feel like social media like plays like 90% of what's going on, because like these things like been happening, but now social media is like more out there, and like without social media it would have never been out there, because like normally like with like history, the story is like always said from one person's side. It's like the killer basically, but when social media is out there, there's like videos, there's people talking, you see the whole story and the full story.
I think that there can be a lot of pros and cons to social media. Things are easy to spread, and it can be helpful to learn different perspectives. But I think it also can be bad, because we tend to believe everything that we read, even if it isn't all true. And that's where, like, spreading, like, false information happens. And then we just, like, believe it, even if there's no fact behind it.
Okay, so people use social media to raise awareness. And it's just kind of, like, I also, like, realize that all the black people were posting all of this things that all of these things that raise awareness, but it's just like white people thought that they had the choice to post or not, which is an example of privilege.
Mm-hmm. I feel like social media like really is a way to educate. Like the way that I use my platform, I have a lot of white friends, and a lot of them are very ignorant to these topics and issues, and I think it's a really good way to educate people, like all the threads that have been going around, you know, mm-hmm. talking about what businesses we should be supporting instead of the ones that we have been supporting, and like learning about Black history and like mm-hmm. like the history of how our country has oppressed people for so long, you know, and I feel like it really does help with educating and like bringing that awareness.
Not anytime soon. If I'm being realistic, I don't think there will be anytime soon. I mean, maybe one day, but in my lifetime, I don't think equality will necessarily be, I mean, it can come close. It'll definitely come close, but I think what we're necessarily looking for right now in America is equity. Because that does make more sense in this climate, the way that life is set up, being a person of color, being African-American, equity would be more realistic to look at than equality.
I think social media makes everything much more accessible. If we just like had the news, I don't think these movements would be as powerful as they are, but now it's so quick to tweet something or post something on Instagram. It's so quick to share information about certain movements, petitions, funds. It really makes gathering people, like standing in solidarity, much more easier.
What is your opinion on ACAB? Do you think there will ever be equality amongst whites and people of color?
No. Racism is profitable. The powers that be don't want it to go away because that would remove their very way of life. And frankly, I don't think Black people should be going for equality. I think we should be going for equity. Because equality don't mean shit at the end of the day in terms of money. Equity is the even distribution of wealth, no matter, like, regardless of that. Like, it's equal opportunity to wealth. Because Black people have been making money and finding a way to survive since the dawn of time. Like, we've been finding ways to survive. They couldn't lynch us out of existence. They couldn't rape us out of existence. They couldn't poison us out of existence. They couldn't even get us to kill us out of existence. So if you couldn't do all of that, motherfucker, fuck equality. I don't want to be equal to you because you bred me to be better than you. So just give me my money and let me do what I can do with my money, because Black people have gotten rich off of music, we've gotten rich off of athletics, we've gotten rich off of art, we've gotten rich off of acting, we've gotten rich off of comedy, we've gotten rich off of artistry, musical artistry, we've gotten rich off of DJing, we've gotten rich off of, we got rich off of fucking everything. Fucking popcorn was invented by a Black motherfucker.
It's a gradual process. It'll be a while. But I think at one point we can get there. But it will be a very long time before that.
I don't know, but I really hope so. I hope that there's a day when we like are all treated with the same respect and given opportunities based on talent or like what we bring to the table and mm-hmm. not just like physical appearance.
For sure. It's just crazy because it's been so long, you know? It's kind of like at a point
exactly.
where people are
losing hope. It's been something that's been going on for so, so many years. And we always say, like, we're going to change this. And there are people that, like, speak up for what they believe in. And it still hasn't been changed. And I think that's so sad because everyone deserves opportunities.
Me personally, I want there to be equality. But me personally, I don't think so. Because, like, They brought us to this country and they made it theirs at that time. So, like, I feel like we can't make it our own unless like people our age, African American people of color, decide to make big movements. Everybody wants to grow up to be like in government, except instead of growing up to want to be famous. I think maybe that'll change it. But besides that, it's going to be really hard. It'll take our generation to do a lot of work to save it.
Honestly, I have hope. I do. But just understanding how complex these systems are and how far they go back, I just don't think on a systematic level that we would be at the same spot. At least not in my lifetime. I think as generations grow, like people have kids, I think on an individual level, you know, people might start treating each other equal, but that also kind of feeds off of it being systemic, like I don't know where it starts from. So I have a lot of faith, but I don't think so.
No, I for sure don't think so. But the thing is that with these protests and with all these things that we're posting, we're not asking for equality. We're asking for you, because we know that there's never going to be equality. We're asking for you as a white person to be an ally and look at us when we speak to you. Look at us and not stereotype us because of our skin color, or not think you're better than us because of your skin color. All we're asking for is for you guys to think of us as human. Like, we're human. We're not asking for blacks to be supreme. We're not asking for any of that. We're asking for you to look at our skin color and honor it.
We don't live in a technical world where if this happens, this is going to happen. And, you know, if the protests keep happening, we're going to get to perfect peace and perfect justice. And this, you know, it's going to be all rainbows with white and black people. Because the truth is, there's always going to be that white person that hates a black person. And there's always going to be the racist, and there's always going to be the supremacist in their homes hiding. And then one day they'll come out and shoot a black guy because he is running. And so there's in this world, in this kind of world that we live in, there's always going to be that, which is just, it's so sad. But we can keep fighting to get close to that, because, and we can keep fighting for the system to at least have empathy for us. Because, you know, they're never going to understand the struggle, mm-hmm. but we're not asking for understanding. We're not asking for you to feel what I'm going through. I'm asking for you to empathize with me. You know, if someone lost their dad, I wouldn't be like, bro, I get what you're going through. I get what you're going through. No, I'd be like, I'm sorry for your loss. I empathize with you. I know this is making you sad, and I can get a little bit of what you're feeling just from how you reacted to it, and just because of what it is, you lost your dad. And so right now I need the white allies, and I need the white people, and I need the people of color that aren't black to just empathize, because we are going through loss, and we are going through feelings of frustration and outrage and anger, and we don't know what to do anymore. We're tired.
Yeah, for sure. Because, like, one thing I realized with everything going on is, like, a lot of white people, they're speaking out their ass. Like, they're ignorant. Like, a lot of them, like, when you sit down and speak with them and, like, educate them, they would see it in a different way, and they would actually, like, agree with you. But, like, most of, like, people speaking right now, they're not, like, they are speaking against, like, people of color. They're, like, they don't have any, like, legit information to talk based off of. So I feel like there will be equality, for sure, when, like, people actually, like, get both sides of the story.
I don't know. I mean, I hope so. When it'll happen, I don't know. I mean, it may happen in my lifetime, and it might not. I don't think it'll happen in America first. Obviously, I think other countries will reach better equality first than here.
My last question is there anything, no matter how small, that you are willing to commit to doing to end racism that you already have not done? My last question to you is there anything, no matter how small, that you're willing to commit to doing, is there anything, no matter how small, that you are willing to commit to doing to end racism that you already haven't done?
I've always wanted to study economics, and I think that later on I'll try and use that degree to make a difference here.
I mean, not really. I live by a saying that my father taught me long ago, where he said, everybody your color is not your kind, and everybody not your color isn't your enemy. And most people have heard something similar in the standpoint of, or in the words of, all skin folk ain't kinfolk, which it basically means the same thing. Like, everybody your color is not your kind, meaning you have those black people that are, did I do good, master? You have black people like that. And you also have when you see Hispanic people, there's a lot of racism rooted in the Hispanic community. But you have some Hispanic women that legitimately love black men for the sake of loving a black man, and they are with the people, even if they got to give up their whole family for it.
I really want to go to a real protest, and I want to see why these cops are, I want to see why the police are acting like this, because I know it's their orders, but I want to see what type of people they are, why they choose to do this. And I also, something else I'd give is if they'll solve a problem, I'll give my life.
Oh my God.
If it brings change. Because nobody cares until it hits home.
Our school system has failed so much in teaching what actually goes on in the world, and just sticking to history and being slavery. That is it. That's all black people are, is slavery. They got taken from their land, put here, and then they worked and they got slaved. I cannot talk. Our school system has completely failed in that criteria. And it's sad, but I'm not gonna only blame it on school system. There's Google, and you know what is happening in the world. You have the news, and you have things that your parents might be telling you that you might think it's fishy, but you don't really look into it because you're ignorant and you have that privilege to do that. So I think as the person I am, and because I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, which it helps me suppress my emotions of anger to just go off on people. Literally, I would throw hands. If I didn't have Jesus, oh my gosh, bro. You already know. Say something. See what I'm finna do.
Exactly.
But I've just been able to have talks with completely ignorant people and just be like, wow, this is what you think. All right. This is what you think, and this is what you're going to keep on thinking. And you know what? It might not be fine, but go on with your life and keep on living that ignorant life. I hope you have a good time with it. So yes, I think I would go as small as educating anyone who is willing to be educated. That is it right there.
Oh yeah, speaking out, if I can try to get down to the protest, I'm definitely gonna try to get down there. Educating the people around me, the generations that are older than me, especially my grandparents and their friends, donating, signing petitions. I mean, I keep sending petitions to giant friend groups that I'm in, because I'm these need to be signed so that change can happen.
Yeah.
I was even just talking to people to get my point across. And so one of my friends, their mom is a little more on the conservative side, and her argument was all lives matter. And I was no. And so I sat down, had a 2-hour conversation with her. Not that it's my job to educate her.
Yeah.
I was as an adult, you should be educating yourself on this. Me, as an 18-year-old, should not have to sit down and tell you why you're wrong.
There's Google. Especially, shit. Come on now.
Yeah, right? I heard, I'm really close friends with her daughter, and her daughters were you need to talk to her. And I was more than happy. More than happy to do that.
Did you get across her at the end?
It did. I think it there was a breaking point at the end where I think she finally flipped, but it definitely took some time to get there. Because her argument was, if Jesus is in our heart, then, people are going to do the right thing. And I was
but they're not.
Jesus, we're here right now.
Come on.
And if Jesus is inside all of us, then why are we still being killed? What's up with that?
Exactly.
So, it took some time, but we got around to it. But yeah, kind of going back to what I said earlier, signing petitions, donating, speaking out about it, posting informative posts, not cute little picture collages or just pictures from the protest, but actual things to help people either educate themselves or kind of read up or watch documentaries or whatever, or just things that they can do to help the situation. And but yeah, I think my job as a person of color is to keep speaking out so I can keep reaching more people, especially because social media is such a big thing. We all have this platform now that we can use for good and to put out our opinions.
Mm-hmm. And my last question is there anything, no matter how small, that you're willing to commit to end racism that you already haven't done?
For sure, yeah. If it's my life, because that's the biggest thing I can offer, obviously, yeah, I would give my life, because looking at it for the future generation as opposed to just my life is more important. I tend to look at the future more realistically than the present, I guess. I would definitely give a lot of things to end racism, for sure.
Well, I feel like everyone's been trying everything to end racism, but it's like bullshit within people. Like, some people are just not going to change, but one thing that everyone can do is just like what I said before, like, educate people. Like, some people just need to learn about history and about why people are doing this, about putting themselves in other people's shoes and see how they would act. Like, just people need to be educated overall.
For sure. And my last question is there anything, no matter how small, that you are willing to commit to doing to end racism that you already haven't done?
I think I'm someone that needs to talk more about it. Like, I don't talk about things because I feel like sometimes it's not my place, or I'm worried about what other people will perceive of me just because of a certain thing I say, you know. Like, I don't want it to sound wrong. Like, I want to stand up for the right things, and I want to be educated before I talk about something.
For sure.
And I feel like a lot of that is just I need to educate myself more and read more factual things, you know, rather than just social media. And I think I need to push myself to have more of those uncomfortable conversations, and I want to continue to stick up for people that deserve a voice but don't have it due to the way they look, or just stereotypes and people that feel like they don't have a voice.
Okay, so I haven't really gone and protested, and that's just because my mom won't let me, but I think that if I were to go out there and fight for what I thought was right, I think that that would play a part in ending racism. And I think that everyone that's out there right now risking their lives are playing a part in ending racism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that although we don't have the confirmation that racism is going to end forever, I think that this protesting and rioting that everyone is doing is making sure that our message is heard, and making sure that the next time a cop wants to take an innocent black life, they'll remember the repercussions that happened when this cop took George Floyd's life.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think I use my voice a lot when it comes to advocating. But I think when it comes to letting microaggressions slide, or let kind of white people say ignorant shit, and not correcting them just out of not wanting to make them uncomfortable or just not wanting to add tension to the space. I think those are things that I shouldn't even think twice about, that I should just immediately check them. So just little things like that, because you get those conversations all the time at UW, just ignorant-ass white people. So I think going forward, I'll definitely make sure I assert myself and correct and check white people who say the most dumbest shit ever.